1 Chronicles chapter 29 verses 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33.
The lot is cast into the lap, but it's everyone's decision is from the Lord.
2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22.
How great you are, O sovereign Lord! There is no one like you, and there is no God but you.
Father God, thank you for everything your word teaches us about you. And we pray, Lord, that your word will teach us what it means for you to be our sovereign God. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm thinking particularly of the younger ones at the moment. This question is, who is in charge of you? Think about it. Who is in charge of you? Who are the sources of authority in your life? Those people who are in charge and looking after you. Who are they? Who are they? Who wants to answer something? Go on then, Sophia.
My little brother.
Your little brother. boss baby. Boss baby. There he is. There he is. Well done, Kevin. Anyone else? Who's in charge? Who looks after you? Who's caring for you?
God.
That's a good answer as well. But who are the people? Okay, who are the people? Anyone else? Sophia, go on there, one more.
Your parents.
Your parents. So there's a good example, isn't there? Your parents are kind of in charge of you. Actually, you've got to, you know, do the things that say that they say. And they take you places. They keep care of you. Do you want to say another one?
The baby Jesus.
The baby Jesus is another always safe bet. So... Jesus looks after us as well. Do you know, there's all sorts of people in our lives who are in charge of us. It might be our parents. It might be actually our grandparents at different times. If your grandparents take you to the park to play on the swings and the slide, they're looking after you. Think about our teachers at school. When you're in school, they're the ones who are in charge of you. Perhaps your Sunday group leaders on a Sunday morning. If you go to school on the bus driver is in charge of you. If you are a part of a football team or some sort of group, a sports group, your coach, your football coach would be in charge of you. Or if you go to scouts or guides or cubs or beavers, brownies, it will be your leaders who are in charge of you. So if you're a child, lots of people are in charge of you throughout your life to help you stay safe, and to help you learn and make good decisions through your life. And as you get older and become an adult, the list of people in charge of you becomes a bit less. Maybe it ends up really just being your boss at work, maybe the police, and perhaps in this country, the Prime Minister. But you know, there's one source of authority who's above all the others and is always first when it comes to being in charge. And two people have already said that. God. Jesus. God is in charge. You see, God is the one who's in charge of everything. He is in complete control and charge of his whole creation. That's what it means when we say that God is sovereign. It means he's in control of it all. The weather, the stars, the animals, all people, all nations, all circumstances. The Bible says he's even in control of every roll of the dice. When it said earlier that the lot is cast, it's talking about dice. Yeah, you roll a dice in a game and you think it's just a fluke. It lands on a 6 or a 2 or a 3. And yet that verse tells us that every roll of the dice is decided by God. That's incredible, isn't it? The Bible even says that God is in control of all the numbers of the hairs on your head. I mean, that's crazy control, isn't it, really? See, this is what it means for God to be sovereign. He is in charge of everything and everyone, and his rule has no limits. We read some verses earlier in our sword drill which said that. I won't read this whole verse on the screen, but I'll just read the bits that are underlined. It says, everything in heaven and earth is yours. That's because God is the creator. It says, you are exalted as head over all. He's the ruler of all. It says, you are the ruler of some things, most things, all things. That's comprehensive. Everything. Ephesians 1 verse 11. Now, it's quite a difficult verse with some long words in it. But just look at the bit it says. The plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything in the world, everything, all circumstances, all people, everything is being outworked so that God's plans will take place. That is crazy control, isn't it? It's why 2 Samuel 7 verse 22 says, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. How great you are, the God who is in control of everything. See, as we sang a few moments ago, he has got the whole world in his hands. Such a simple song, but it teaches us such a profound truth. And the Bible is full of examples of God's sovereign control. We could go around with a microphone, there's not time, but you could list them one after the other, where God is just in complete control of his whole creation. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, it explains his complete control. And his rule is perfectly seen in the person of Jesus Christ, which is why we said, who is in control? Ultimately, it's God, it's Jesus. Why? Because God, Jesus, is God in human flesh. When he walked this earth, he amazed people with his teaching. His teaching had such authority, showed such rule. But his control was over everything. He controlled the wind and waves. He controlled sickness. He can make people better with a word. He even raised people from the dead, just by speaking. See, he showed that he was in control of everything. And when you think about all the wonderful things we've learnt about God over this last year or so, the fact that God knows everything, do you remember that long word? He's omniscient. The fact that God is powerful, he's all powerful, omnipotent, that long word. When we think that God is present everywhere, there's nowhere where God is not present. He's omnipresent. When you think that he is eternal, that he will never, ever end. When you realize all these wonderful truths about God, you realize that he's the right person to be in charge of it all. Because he's perfect in every way. There is nowhere where he's not in charge with his perfect knowledge, perfect power, perfect rule for all time. Having said that, things happen in the world that sometimes make us wonder if God really is in control of everything. Do you ever think that? Bad things happen and sad things happen. And we don't always follow God's ways. Sometimes it seems like he's not in control of our lives. I just do what I want to do. See, at times it looks like God is not sovereign. At times it looks like other things are actually in charge of the creation. And this is why we need the Bible. So that we are taught the truth about what God is like, even when circumstances would suggest that not to be true. See, the Bible teaches us, as we've seen, that God is sovereign. And the Bible teaches us that his rule is actually greater than we could even imagine. It's greater than we could even imagine. I'm going to explain to you how that is. You see, we tend to think that God's control of all things is only seen when things go well, from our perspective. And yet the Bible makes it clear that God is in control all the time, even over the bad things that happen. And there are two great examples of this in the Bible. One of them the children have been thinking about in their children's group before Christmas. It's the story of Joseph. See, the children looked at this story a few months back. And the children will remember how Joseph was treated really badly by his brothers. They sold him into slavery. They duffed him up. They treated him badly. He ended up, one bad thing happened after the other. He ended up in prison. You see, their actions were evil without doubt. But look what Joseph was able to say at the end of his life. He said, "You," that's my brothers, "you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Can you see what Joseph is saying? He's saying his brothers freely chose to harm him. They seemed to be in control, carrying out their bad purpose for Joseph. Yet God was actually at work through their actions to achieve his wonderful purpose for Joseph's life, which, as we know, was to get him to a place in Egypt where he would then be in a place to save many people's lives through his provision. Do you know, it's incredible, and it is definitely mysterious. We cannot fully understand how at times it looks like people are in control, but actually all the time God is in control, working out his plans, even through evil. If you find that hard to understand, good, because that means you've understood it. If you think this is easy to understand, you haven't quite grasped it, because it seems to be contradictory. How can we be in control and yet God be in control? Surely it's sometimes him, sometimes us. No. God is always in control, even over the bad things that happen. And we see that in Joseph's story, but we also see it supremely in the story of Jesus in the Bible. The death of Jesus. Think about that. Who killed Jesus? Well, people killed Jesus, even when he didn't deserve it. It was evil. It was their own choice. It looked like people were in control of the destiny of the Son of God. And yet the Bible says of Jesus' death, it says they, that's those who killed him, they did what your power, that's God, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, if you were to ask the people who killed Jesus, why did you kill Jesus? They wouldn't say, well, God made me do it. He put my arm around my back and he made me. No. They chose to kill him. They called out, crucify. The soldiers put the nails in his hands and feet. They killed him. They were utterly responsible. And yet this verse tells us that actually God was even behind their actions, working out his plans and purposes. This was his will that Jesus died before it was ever their will. That is astonishing. It's incredible. How can this be? Well, we can't explain it. It's mysterious. But what it tells us is that God's control is absolute. It is so complete, it means that nothing ever happens outside of his total and utter rule. It means nothing can stop God from carrying out his plans, not even the disobedience and evil that is in the world. That's the truth about God's sovereignty. Four things to take away about what this means. There's more than four, but I'm going to give you four. Firstly, this truth about God's sovereignty should make you go, God is amazing. The truth of God's sovereignty should lead us to worship God for being so glorious that his control is bigger and greater than we could ever, ever imagine. So firstly, it should lead us to worship him. It's why we sang earlier, "Behold our God seated on the throne." He's in charge. "Come, let us adore him. He is worthy of all our worship." The second thing is, God's sovereign rule should lead us to repent. See, the truth is that God is in charge, but so often we live as if we're the boss. And that's why God calls us to repent. That means to turn back to God, to coming under his rule willingly. It's why we need to ask God for forgiveness, and we are to obey him. God's complete control doesn't excuse our disobedience. The wonderful thing is that even though we are accountable for our sins, God has actually provided the means to give us forgiveness that we need. The death of his son Jesus. He wants us to trust in him, to repent, and to turn back to following him. So, God's sovereignty should lead us to worship, it should lead us to repent, and thirdly, it should lead us to receive great comfort in our troubles. See, we may not understand why certain things happen in our lives, but we can be sure that God is always still in control. And his good purposes will prevail in your life. Nothing can stop God making you like Jesus and giving you eternal life. That's what he promises to do for his people. Romans 8, 28 and 29. God promises to make us like his son. And rightly understood, God's absolute rule should lead us to trust him, therefore, in every situation we face. Because it means nothing can ever separate us from God's love. One person has said this. I'm just going to read a quote from someone called R.C. Sproul. I've got it on my phone. He said, "If there is one maverick molecule," that means like one rogue molecule in the universe that does its own thing outside of God's control. "If there is one maverick molecule in this universe running free from the sovereign control of God, we have no reason to believe any future promise that God has made. Because that one maverick molecule may be the very thing that will destroy God's plans." But thanks be to God, there are no maverick molecules running loose outside the scope of God's sovereign government. See, that's why it matters that God is sovereign in complete control. Because if he's not in control of just one thing, that could bring about the downfall of God's plans. It should give us great comfort today to know that God is in control of every circumstance of our lives, and every promise he's made, his sovereignty means, will come to pass. And finally, while God's sovereign rule should give us great confidence in prayer. Why do we pray? It's because God is in charge. He actually has the power and authority to do stuff. That's why we pray. We're putting our trust in him because he's sovereign. If he's not sovereign, we're asking him to do something and he just shrugs his shoulders and goes, "What can I do? I'm not in charge." The very fact we pray is because God is sovereign. But of course, knowing God's perfect rule involves trusting that God knows best. We can never be better rulers than God. And so when our prayers don't get answered in the way that we desire, we still need to trust him. We need to say, "Look, God, I want this to happen in my life, but I'm trusting that you know best because you know better than me. Your will for my life will always be better than my own, and I'm going to trust you." Your sovereign rule means not one promise you make to me will fail. So I'm going to love you and I'm going to obey you and I'm going to trust you as my glorious and wonderful God, because you have the whole world in your hands. That's the attitude of what prayer should be. It's about bowing before the sovereign God, looking to him and his purposes, asking him to do things, but trusting his perfect rule. Let's pray. Father, you are greater than we can ever conceive. And we've been thinking about your sovereign rule, and it is mind-blowing. We want to worship you. We want to repent. We want to say sorry, Lord, we live as if we're the boss, when you are the supreme, absolute boss. Forgive us, Lord. And thank you that your rule brings great comfort and confidence through the difficulties we face in life. Thank you, because of your rule, we can pray, we can trust you, knowing you are working things out for our best. Please help us to live with you as our true ruler and king this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.